be in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. If you want to turn to the first verse, well, that's where we're going to begin. You see, most of the people, and I hear it among Christians, and it breaks my heart. They'll say things about luck and about lucky charms and about if the creek don't rise, we'll do something tomorrow, or knock on wood, you know, to make sure that we get covered by some kind of luck experience. And then we say, you know, then we sing the song, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all, gloom, despair, and agony on me. You know, the reality is, guys, luck doesn't work for Christians. I mean, good luck or bad luck. So you might as well give up on luck. Because when you gave your life to Christ, something stepped in there called the Holy Spirit, and now your life is not your own anymore. Your life is not your own anymore. You belong to Jesus. So therefore, not one foot that you're going to take has not already been saw and taken care of by your Master, by your Lord. And so you need to get on board. You need in your spirit, in your heart, you need to start listening to what God's saying to you and where He's taking you. That's the reality, especially in this generation. If you don't, somebody's going to snatch your kids away from you. They're going to snatch your husbands or your wives away from you. There's an evil force out there that's trying to destroy churches and people of God. You see, he wants to go after the people he doesn't have. He's not going after the world. He's already got them. You are the ones he's after. So therefore, you need a covering. This morning I want to talk about providence. Providence is not luck. Providence is something that we don't talk enough about in the Christian faith. Often capitalized in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it usually means divine guidance or care. Divine guidance or care. God conceived as the power sustaining and guiding human destiny. In other words, God is in control. That's what providence is. And so it's not luck. Okay, it's like you don't have good providence or bad providence. The providence of God is going to be His hand upon you to get you through this world. For Christians, no luck at all. And believers are in God's providential care. When you said, Father, forgive me of my sins. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. I know he died on the cross for me, personally for me. Come into my life. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Now, when you prayed that, if you prayed it, and you meant it, you know what happened? He came into your heart. The seed has been planted inside you. And what happens to a seed when you plant a seed in the ground? You cover it over with dirt and you don't see it until all of a sudden it gets sprinkled with water and a little bit of sunshine. Next thing you know, the little green pops up out of the ground and that seed begins to grow into a full-blown whatever the seed is. The world out there trying to plant the wrong kind of seeds inside you and inside your kids. But you've been implanted by the seed of God. You see, that seed goes all the way back to Genesis. In Genesis, it was the seed of woman, okay, that's going to bruise the heel of Satan. So it's the seed of woman, but the seed that's not provided by the woman. In relationships, it's the seed of man that brings forth a baby. The seed's implanted into the womb, and the womb bears fruit, okay? But it's the seed of a woman. What is that seed? That was a divine seed. It was not a human seed. That was the seed of God inside a woman. And from that came the birth of our Savior, Jesus. So he's not born of man's sin. He is born of heaven. So he's a different kind of person because he is God in the flesh, Emmanuel. And so therefore we need to help people understand that you have, when you accepted Christ, you get the seed of God planted inside your soul. Now, are you going to water it? Are you going to let some sunshine in? Are you going to allow that sunshine to penetrate your heart so that the seed can grow, so that you can become mature and you can be the son of God or the woman of God that God's created you to be? That's what we need to understand, is that's where you're headed. Because if you really got the seed planted, God's in charge at this point, and he's going to guide every step you take from the day you accept Christ until the day you die on this planet. Every step. He's going to go out in front of you, and he's going to guide every step, if you'll let him. But let me tell you, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force you in any pattern or walk. You can fight him the whole way. You can say, I don't want to do that. I did that when I first accepted the Lord. He called me to be a missionary, and I said, no, thank you. You ever said no thank you to God? That's like saying sick him to a dog. The Holy Spirit starts hounding you, and suddenly there's this heat that comes over you, and you can't even go and worship anymore. Why? Because conviction falls on you. You know that you're not doing what God asked you to do. He saved your soul, and you're not following after him. You see, I didn't want to be a missionary. I wanted to be an airplane pilot or an English teacher. And I already made those plans. I was already part of the CAP in high school, and I was learning to fly and all those fun things that you do when you have those young dreams when you're a kid. But I was only 16 when I accepted the Lord, and he kept me out of a lot of trouble. But I remember it was 2 weeks after I accepted the Lord that I had to say, okay, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I went to the church. I got the keys to the church on a Sunday afternoon from my best friend's mother, who is the pastor's wife. I said, I need to go pray. She said, you want me to come over with you? And I said, no, I want to go by myself. So I went over to the church. I went down to the altar, and nobody was in there. It had beautiful stained glass windows in that Begonia United Methodist Church. I got on my knees, and I said, Lord, you want me to be a missionary, but I hate snakes. And so I did not want to be a missionary because I thought missionary meant going to Africa and dealing with snakes. And I just knew if I had to deal with snakes, it would be all over. So, Lord, tell you what, I will be a missionary, but you take care of the snakes. And I got a confirmation. Okay, he says, I'll do that. And as soon as I said yes, and I got up, I felt a freedom. Why? Because I said, okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I also got another freedom. You know what it was? He didn't really want me to be a missionary. He just wanted me to be willing to be a missionary. He knew that that's what I didn't want to do, so he asked me the thing I didn't want to do to see if he could get my whole heart. And when he got my whole heart, he knew I'd go anywhere, anytime. Now, I've not been a missionary, but I want you to know, and most of you know, I've been from the top of Africa to the bottom of Africa. I've been to Korea. I've been to the Middle East. I've been down to Brazil. I haven't been to the bottom of Brazil. But I tell you, I've had wonderful experiences because this year I went to Cuba. And everywhere I've gone, I've got to tell people about Jesus. And I've seen churches planted. I've got to name some of them. One of my favorites is Espírito Santo. It's down in the back rivers of the Amazon in Brazil. And I still write and communicate with people down there. It's fascinating what God can do with your life. Because I was a nobody, a kid from nowhere. My mom and dad, you know, neither one of them made it through high school. Mom made it through the 8th grade. My dad made it to the 10th grade. And they said when I went to college, don't you think you've had enough education? Then when I said, okay, I'm going to go on to seminary, they said, I think you're smart enough. How smart do you want to be anyway? I won't tell you what they said when I went after my doctorate. But let me tell you, God was preparing me for something. And that is not to be deceived by the evil one's craftiness with the Word of God. I know how to handle the Greek. I know when they twist words and how the left is trying to confuse you and tell you lies, anti-truth. The scripture called those persons antichrists, plural Christs. And they're all over. They've multiplied like you can't believe. They're multiplying so fast. Why can't we do that in the body of Christ? We can multiply like that. We can multiply and get the real people out there with the real Word of God. Because everywhere you are, not where you send me or Osue or Tim, it's everywhere you are, that's where your mission field is. That's where you're supposed to be proclaiming Jesus to the people around you, to your neighbors, to your friends, to the people you work with, to the people at the grocery store. I can't tell you the number of people at Walmart that I've stopped and prayed with in the aisles or at the cash register. Because if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, every time you get around someone who needs prayer, you know. When you go to dinner and the waitress is waiting on you and you can see she's preoccupied or he's fumbling around. And you look at him and say, are you okay? Can I pray for you? You know, I've not had one yet say no. And they're on the clock. But if you offer, people are ready for ministry. And you will believe the miracles will follow when you do that. So we need to understand, providentially, we are in the hands of God. God's hand is on us, and where we go is what's going to be all it's about. So you will have a testimony, just like Paul's blinding light experience. When he went to Damascus, he was going there for a purpose. He was going to serve God to the ends. He was going to stop this heresy called Christianity that was breaking into the Jewish church, and he was going to kill them. He's going to stone them. He's going to take them out of the city and get rid of them. And on the way, God stopped him. He saw Paul's heart. He knew that Paul's heart was after God. He wasn't doing it to be doing it. He was doing it because he thought he was serving God. God said, whoa, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Paul saw blinding light. And he heard the voice. His heart just cried out, who are you? And then he got struck with something that everybody on this planet and everybody that's ever lived is going to be struck with. I am Jesus of Nazareth. You see, everybody is going to see that. Every knee is going to bow before him. Every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. That's going to happen. So if you don't do it voluntarily, it's going to happen anyway. But I hope and I pray that when you do, you will be seeing him as your Savior and not as the one who's going to come at you at the end of the 7-year tribulation and say, time's up, off to that other place, which preachers don't like to talk about because it offends somebody here and it offends somebody there. Well, I want you to know, if you don't offend them here, they're going to get really offended later. So you got to be honest. There is a hell, okay? There is one, but there is a heaven, and it's free. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to go to church so many Sundays to be able to get into it. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. For if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ and that God raised him from the dead, and you confess that with your mouth, you got to follow through here, you will be saved. For the heart man believes, with the mouth he confesses. And we're different. All over the planet we're different. I've seen it, I know. If you want to see some radical worship, let me take you to Korea. Oh, man. They get into a room, and all of a sudden, wham, lightning strikes, and everybody is on fire. And I was totally lost because they're all speaking in Korean. I thought they were all praying in tongues, which they were. It just wasn't my tongue. But I also felt the holy presence of the Holy Spirit. I saw an intensity that was just beautiful. The church in Korea is growing and growing and growing. I want you to know the same thing is happening in Sudan. I've been to the Sudan. I wasn't allowed to get off the airplane in Sudan. I wasn't allowed to even open my windows so I could look out onto the tarmac when I was in Sudan because I was a Christian and I could have been martyred right there on the spot. Even the government hates Christians. But I have friends now who are sneaking in the back roads of Sudan and not going through the airports. And people are getting saved in the Sudan. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is more powerful than all the structures of mankind. And we have availability to that same power right here in Licking County. If we'll just use it for the glory of God. So, one thing you need to know is Jesus is the Christ, the living Word. And you need to be able to communicate that to someone else. You know, I've talked to people. You know, people have actually called me and says, my sister-in-law, she's dying of cancer at the hospital. Could you go pray? I don't think she knows the Lord. Could you go lead her to the Lord before she dies? And I say, what's wrong with you? Oh, I could never do that. Why can't you do that? You've been a Christian for 40 years. You listen to how many sermons? I know you know how. A simple little prayer. You can go do that. I don't even know her. You know her. It will mean something to her if you show her you love her enough that you don't want her to go to hell. So go over there, sit down beside her, and tell her about Jesus. Tell her what, if you don't know what to say, tell her what happened to you. Tell her how you got saved. And ask her if she'd like to be saved too. And when she says, just tell her she just needs to ask God to forgive her of her sins, come into her heart, and be her Lord and Savior too. And he will. He's faithful. He will be there. You're not doing it by yourself. You can do it. So listen to the Holy Spirit and let him guide you. That's where we're beginning to understand that God has a plan for our lives and we need to hold on to him. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Did you hear that? Blessed is our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. It's already got it. It's already available to you. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing from heaven. Every one of them. They're already available to you. You don't have to beg for them. You don't have to cry out for them. They're yours. Just seize them. Just hold on to them. Okay, then this next part I put in red in my verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Whoa. That's cool. God chose me before he laid the foundation of this world. That should mean something to you. You're peculiar people. Why? Because you've been chosen of God. Do you know why he chose you? Because even before you were created, he saw your heart. He knew you would mess up. He knew you'd fall on your face. But he chose you way back then because he knew that you would also find out about his love and receive it. He chose you in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to the adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, with which he favored us in the beloved. The beloved, by the way, is Jesus. Now, Paul hasn't started yet. This is just a good morning welcome to the Ephesian church. But boy, did he pack a punch in there. You know, people get caught up on that he predestined us to the adoption of sons and daughters. That's almost like I didn't have a choice. He predestined me to be, and he predestined you not to be. Well, no, he didn't tell us who's predestined to be and who's predestined not to be. Okay, I can tell you how you can find out if you're predestined to be. Turn to Jesus and say, will you forgive me? You suddenly became predestined. That's all it took, okay? You get predestined because he foreknew that you were going to say yes when he offered it to you. Not because he forced you to do it. He's not forcing people to make decisions for him. He's God. He loves you enough that what he's done for you should be enough for you just to receive it. So if you love him, if you find out, you know, that's what got me more than anything. When I was a 16-year-old kid, I was out there, I was lost and I was lonely. My parents were messed up in their own issues with life and they didn't have time. And I was out there with lots of struggles. I had moved from the south to the north. Back then that was an issue. People looked at me and thought I was prejudiced just because I came from Virginia. And I lived in Ohio. And so I was really put down for it. And so I was really feeling lost. I had a real strong southern accent, by the way, which I lost. It's okay. Okay, we mesh together when we come together. That's what's so beautiful about the body of Christ coming together. But anyway, I was lost and lonely, and I needed a father, a real father, a father who would do with me what also all the other kids with good fathers did. And I found him in Jesus Christ. I found him when I prayed. And I had hope. And so when I said, Father, and when I say, Father, now, I know that the relationship is he predestined me to be sons of him. Because he adopted me. He adopted me. And so now I found favor in the beloved, and because of that, God has blessed me far better than I deserve. I have more. I'm doing more. And people say, oh, don't you feel sorry about your weaknesses of the flesh? Folks, I don't have any weaknesses of the flesh. I don't have any. This body, it's going to die. It's going to deteriorate. My body is in heaven. And I'm going to hold on to that one until I receive it and enjoy it. And it's going to be incredible. So right now, I'll do what I can, and I'll just wear this one out. And the more it gets worn out, if it's worn out for Jesus, it's all that matters. Anyway, let me just finish out the scripture. It says, in him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of for our wrongdoings, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will. You see, God's not mysterious. He's making known every mystery of the gospel. All you have to do is read it and pray, and it's going to come alive to you. Everything, even the book of Revelation, is going to be easy to understand once you get in the Spirit and start praying as you read. Just pray. God, I don't understand this verse. Read it again. God, I still don't understand this verse. Read it again. Lord, can you show me what this verse means? Read it again. Watch out. I've always found the third time's a charm. Okay? And you get this little small voice that says, turn to Hebrews. Turn to Isaiah. Oh, so that's what you meant. Light comes on. So he's made known to us the mystery of his will according to the wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will regarding his plan of the fullness of the times. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about what times we're living in. To bring all things together in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth. In him we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things in accordance with the plan of his will. To the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of his glory. To him you also, all after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, having also believed, who is the first installment of our inheritance in regard to the redemption of God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Let me do an Osborne paraphrase. In the fullness of time, he's going to walk you through whatever has to happen on this planet. So don't be afraid. He's already got it under control. And you are in his plan. And that's what when I'm talking about what's happening in our hearts, we need to recognize that the providence of God is that he is providing for us. That's what providence is. God provides. Abraham was taking Isaac up the altar, and his son looks at him and says, Dad, where's the ram for the sacrifice? And then Abraham said, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. That's where we get the word, the Lord provides. And that actual word, if you look at it in the Hebrew, it means God sees. And what does it mean? It says God sees our need. It'll be taken care of. And from that point on, all the way to the book of the 22nd chapter of Genesis, all the way through the Bible, every time you see God sees, you know he's going to provide. God sees your need. If he sees it, he's going to provide for it. So you need to pray and believe. And when you pray, God will see your need. He will provide because he's the provider. And the providential trust of God will take care of you. And you will be okay. You will be okay. No matter what happens, you will be okay. God will take you right through to the end. And you will be okay. So don't be afraid. Because what's coming, this is nothing compared to the beauty and the glory and the joy and the happiness and the celebration that we're going to have when we get to the throne of God. And so providentially, you're going to get there. Because of God's sovereignty that you can trust in his providential care. Those are three things that baby Christians need to be told right away. But mature Christians tend to forget. So I'm telling you, God Almighty reigns. He is King of the universe. And he's all powerful, all glorious. And I, you know, he's the one who's going to take care of you. And when God Almighty sees your need, he is going to provide for it. He is going to, that's praise the Lord, okay? That's where it's at. So this morning, I praise the Lord we can worship together. I praise the Lord for his way. Ever since I met him, and when the pastor of Family of Faith was also on one of the chaplains with me at the prosecutor's department, and she told me she was quitting being a chaplain. I said, what are you going to do? She said, well, I'm leaving and moving to Tennessee. And I said, well, what about Family of Faith? Oh, it'll be taken care of. I've got somebody from Cuba. You got somebody from Cuba? Does he speak English? Well, when I met Josue, I said, God knew what he was doing. And he's bringing a little bit of Spanish and reaching people in the community of Spanish background that a lot of people are just leaving behind. And praise God for that. So pray for Josue. Pray for Family of Faith. Pray that their umbrella of coverage will expand more and more here and in Cuba. As he's planting churches there, planting fellowships here. And maybe together we can believe for some miracles to happen right here in Licking County. Maybe we can just fill up the square sometime with all denominations so that the whole county can say, hey, somebody believes in God in this county. God must be real. Let's go check him out. I tell you, it can happen. It can happen. Well, listen to me. I've been a pastor for a lot of years, and I'm still hopeful for some wonderful things to happen. I do know things are going to get worse. I don't have any doubt about that. We've opened some Pandora's boxes in our country that are practically impossible to shut. But nothing is impossible with God. But we, unless we get the church together to start praying and believing, the world out there, the masses out there, are going to miss the hope that you and I enjoy. So I just want to challenge you more than ever. Be the church of Jesus Christ, the risen King. Be his people. Be proud to bear his name. Don't be ashamed to say his name out loud in public. Just get out there and do it, and do it. Father, I just thank you and praise you. I praise you, Lord, that we can believe together and serve together and trust you together. And Lord, now as we begin to dispatch out into this community, we're going many different directions. And we know, Lord, that every one of us is a missionary. And we're going to go out there with you on our hearts and our minds. And we're going to pray that your words will be in our mouths. And if even today, Lord, today, every one of us will meet someone that we can reach and lead to you and to your throne. Lord, I know that's not impossible. Every time I pray, Father, for an opportunity to lead somebody to Christ, you always bring somebody along. And so, Lord, I'm going to pray that for everybody here, that we all can have that opportunity, because it's such a wonderful thing to birth a new Christian into the kingdom. And so, Lord, bless everyone here and touch them, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.